Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I go to school in a big city that is one of the least safest cities in the U.S. I chose this school for nursing and definitely not the location. I live in a row house. I mean, that's what we call it. Off campus with four other girls. Cheaper and nicer than dorms. Or so we thought. I guess you get what you pay for. We're all girls and sophomores in college. As you would guess, we like to go out and drink, come back and do things we don't remember. We had just started our rent in August. 3 floors plus a basement, which was padlocked by the owners. Understandable. We would definitely have parties down there to avoid immediate cleanup. The house was great, an amazing location to school and work. I am a CNA who works odd hours. Important for later. It was not expensive and good condition. I had never lived with that many people before. Just one roommate, so before we definitely knew if one of us had misplaced or changed something. I started to notice my snacks, either half gone or completely gone. I was getting annoyed, but a house of many people, it's too much work to go and figure out who ate it, so I ignored it. Slowly, as girls do, we started making comments about someone eating our food, but passive-aggressively. We all just let it go because who wants a whole house fight? I work until about 11 in the NICU, get home at about 11:30, mostly on weeknights. I started to notice pans left out or snack wrappers around. I thought it was odd because none of my roommates had done that before. But just thought, oh, they probably drank a bottle of wine and then went to bed and forgot about it. Again, my roommate started making comments. This time we started to ask because it was getting annoying, all of our food being gone and things being left. I knew it was one of them, but who wants to admit they ate someone else's snacks in college? Snacks are a high commodity. We chalked it up to the girl who always smokes and eats her weight in food. She swore it wasn't her. This went on for about 2 months. It got more obvious someone was clearly taking everyone's food. Definitely the girl that always smokes. I see her eat the whole snack pantry in a night. I wish it was her. One night at work, I was about to get off, but a situation happened and I didn't end up leaving until 12:30. I took the bus home. I carry pepper spray, a taser, and a pocket knife. Don't worry. I got home and I was about to collapse. I wanted to go to bed ASAP. I walked in the front door, and the stairs are directly in front of you. You can also see down the side into the kitchen. I walked in and saw someone in the kitchen, but was way too tired to say hi. Thinking it could end in like a 30-minute conversation about nothing, so I went straight upstairs. When I got to the second floor, I noticed all my roommates' doors were closed, which always means they are all either in their room for the night or asleep. I got a weird feeling, just something that made it click. They were all asleep, right? I texted our house group chat, asking if anyone was in the kitchen. I felt stupid for even asking. Two responded no, and they said the other two had been asleep. I knew it wasn't any of my roommates down there at that moment. I dialed 911, but I didn't press call. I crept into my roommate's room across the hall. Thankfully, or maybe not thankfully, she didn't have her door locked. I whispered, telling her I think someone is in the house. She gave me the widest eyes ever and almost looked like she was going to cry. She didn't suspect anything like I had, but for reference, very bad area as in there was a shooting in the house 2 doors down, only weeks earlier by an intruder. She mouthed to me to make the call. The whole time we were dead silent. We didn't hear really anything at all. I was starting to think I was seeing things after such a long day at work, and I was regretting that I dialed 911, thinking I'm going to look like an idiot when they show up. And I was just overtired and dreaming. We explained what's going on, and they said they will send someone as soon as possible. And that actually does mean right away, since it is a big and dangerous city. The police showed up, and I didn't even want to go downstairs, but the operator confirmed it was them, so I did. But the whole time, I could swear the operator could hear my heart beating. The police came in and looked around. I'm thinking, oh god, I look dumb. They ask if there are any other floors, and we tell them technically the basement, but it's padlocked, so really no. They checked the basement anyway, just in case. And well, they were right. A man had been living in the padlocked basement. The lock was pulled off the hinges and just kind of propped against the wall. We never looked at that though. We rarely went out back. The guy had taken a comforter of one of my roommates out of the hall closet, had a mattress from God knows where, and his clothes. Well, he was the one moving and eating all of our stuff. He would come out in the middle of the night and do it. He started getting more comfortable. I don't know if he was drugged out and forgot to clean his tracks, or if he just didn't care. Me and my roommates have pretty consistent schedules during the week, probably letting him think that any time after about 12 was good to come out. We never slept with our individual doors locked, and that's what freaks me out the most. He had access to any one of us at any moment, and we had no idea. When he was getting arrested, I was the only one to go down and look. I don't know why I did. I wish I didn't. I took a picture in the process of him being arrested to show my roommates. We were too afraid to go down. This is him. So how my friend group works is we have our little circle of people who we hang around with most often. For big events or bonfires or something similar, we expand and a couple of different friend groups join. Ben is a part of one of these extended friend groups. He has someone who always posts different and interesting things, who always has something to say. I've gotten along really well with Ben at these events and we always end up chatting. I've always found him to be a bit different and a unique individual. Ben started going to my local college this year. He shot me a message on Snapchat basically saying, "Hey, all my friends went away to different schools, and the only person I have to talk to from the area is now my ex-girlfriend. I was wondering if you wanted to get a group together and hang out, because I'd like to have some new friends around." It was actually a really nice message, because with the course I'm in, I don't get to make many friends. And all of my close friends are spread out now too, so I said yes. The hangout was initially supposed to be one of my friends, him, and one of his friends. It was a day after class, and I just got home. He told me he was going to take a quick nap before we all head out. When he wakes up, he tells me it's now too late and he has other plans he forgot about. That was totally fine. I wasn't upset about it. I canceled with my friend too, so I can just sit down and do some homework. He texts me a few hours later. I didn't give him my number, telling me his other plans got canceled and he was now available again and wondering if I still want to do something. I said that my friend was now out of the city and he said he texted his friend but they didn't answer. He decided to pick me up and go for a drive and just chat. Ben gets to my house at around 10. I go and hop into his car and he speeds off. Oddly enough, he's talking with an accent, kind of like Jamaican or something similar. I thought he was just being goofy, so I played along. Sometimes I would answer back in the accent, but then I started to think it was weird that he wasn't talking in his own voice at all. He was driving like a maniac down the street, telling me how he was drinking earlier because he thought he was going to a party. I asked him if he was drinking and driving, and he said no, that he only had a few sips. I know I probably should have gotten out of the car then, but at this point we're flying down the highway and I was scared. He begins to rant about his ex, telling me that there was infidelity and trust issues on his end. He couldn't tell me what they were because he didn't want me to think badly of him. He told me he was still going to marry this girl and have kids together. He ranted about her and got on tangents and started to scream and yell. I started to think maybe he was on some drug or something. We arrive at my college, a half hour to 45 minute drive away into another city, and he says we should get out of the car. I'm already scared and my phone is dying, so I just listen to what he says. At this point, I'm literally thinking he might kill me. He took me for a walk through the light woods and then started to make sounds like a creature. He would make like dinosaur sounds or sounds like the Grudge. He would also walk like a creature, morphing his body into weird, creepy movements. I requested for us to go home because I was literally terrified. We get back into the car and start our drive home. He pulls out a pipe and smokes something. I tell him that he shouldn't do that, but he doesn't listen. Now he begins to yell. He starts back on his tangents about life again, and he pulls over the car to get out and do some jumping kicks. Like what? At this point, my phone is dead. He gets back in the car and puts on his favorite song. The song begins slow and then picks up a little later. It's like a 4-minute song. He then begins to scream along to the lyrics and smash the windows and dashboard and wheel with his hands, stomping his feet. I've seen someone passionate about a song before, but not like this. Ben swerves all around the road until we get to my house. He then turns to me and says, without an accent, "I know it's late, but did you want to have sex?" In the most casual tone in the world. I gave a nervous laugh and said, "Actually, I'm good." He turned to the back seat to get something, but I got out of the car and booked it to my house. I locked the door to my house and the bedroom door in my room. It might not sound as terrifying as it was for me in the moment, but at the time, I was shaking out of pure fear. I don't know if he was just on some crazy drug or he had a split personality or something, but I've never met a person before who I've looked at and thought to myself, "You're going to kill someone someday." I really hope he doesn't see this because I see him at school frequently. To put this into context, I'm an 18-year-old girl living in New Zealand. I suffer from anxiety and shut down in stressful situations and become rather overwhelmed when I'm not sure how to deal with something. The story happened yesterday while I was waiting at my bus station to catch a bus home. I'd had a long day at work and my legs were in pain, and all I wanted to do was get home and watch some YouTube in bed. It was getting dark and the sun was almost completely down. As I was listening to some music in a rather deserted area of the bus station, a man considerably larger than myself sauntered up and sat down directly next to me on the bench, which I didn't think much of. To put this into perspective, I'm roughly 55 kilograms. He must have been at least 100 and could have easily overpowered me. I noticed out of the corner of my eye that this man was staring at me, and I began to feel a little uncomfortable. But I shrugged it off to him looking at my mask. It's rather nondescript and just blacked. I ignored this and acted busy on my phone to avoid talking. As I said, I had a long day at work. The man began to talk and I pulled out my AirPods to listen to what he was saying to me. The AirPod fell and landed on the ground, to which he picked it up for me, held onto it and stared at it for a few seconds before handing it back to me. I was already getting bad vibes from this man. The conversation went something like this. "Your eyes are beautiful. Did you get them from your mom or dad?" "My mom, I guess." I kept my replies short to try to signify I wasn't in the mood for talking, but he continued. "What bus are you catching? Where do you live?" I laughed nervously and told him I didn't feel very comfortable sharing where I lived, but I told him it was further up north. He then said, "Why? It's not like I'm going to hurt you. Isn't it really fancy up there?" This was where I began to feel seriously uncomfortable and began to shake. He asked if I had a boyfriend, to which I said yes, and he proceeded to ask if I planned to marry him, to which I laughed and also said yes. "Oh, it kind of just sounds like you're rooting him. Are you sure you want to marry him?" I was shocked and looked at him before telling him again, "Yes, I do plan to marry my partner." "How old are you?" I don't know what came over me, but I told him I was 21, to try to make it come across as like I was old enough to stand up for myself. "Are you on the pill?" "I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable sharing that, and I don't see why you need to know." "Oh, so you use condoms instead?" I wanted to walk away, but I was grounded to the bench, and I couldn't move a muscle if I tried. I was uncomfortable and confused as to why he was asking me these questions. "You have someone waiting for you at the bus stop, or are you walking home? How far do you live from the bus stop?" This is the question that made everything click into place, and I realized that this guy had malicious intent. He's not being friendly. This man is going to follow me home and try to assault me or kidnap me. I started to really panic and started desperately looking for onlookers. A young man, possibly my age, walked out of the public bathroom last and had overheard this conversation and was looking at the predator rather skeptically. I knew then I'd at least have someone to help if I just asked for it. By this point, I recalled a video I seen on Reddit about a highly pregnant woman and her daughter being followed to their car in an empty car park in the dark by an older man. This lady was stressfully trying to find her keys in her purse as this man was standing beside her daughters on the opposite side of the car, making small talk with them. He got impatient and walked away before she found her keys. Someone commented on her submission, saying that this was a popular thing, that he was waiting for her to unlock the car so he could get in and control her via threats of her children. It occurred to me that I should skip my bus and catch another one at a later time. I did this exactly. He kept trying to ask where I live, and I continued to refuse telling him where. He also continued to ask how far I lived from the stop and if my partner was waiting for me. I deflected all of his questions, and after 40 minutes, he began to get kind of mad and eventually walked away from the station. He wasn't there to catch a bus at all, but to prey on a young woman at a bus stop. I caught my bus about 10 minutes after he left, and I ran home where I completely broke down and cried in the arms of my partner. This morning, I was so stressed, I contemplated taking the day off of work and staying in bed the rest of the day. I was petrified.
During a period of my life where I was mostly living on the road, I often made money through house sitting and dog sitting. It was super easy and convenient to get temporary jobs that way, and it also paid me to stay at sometimes really nice houses for several days, or even weeks. I was scheduled to dog and house sit at a place in Washington this week. I drove up there on a Thursday and met the owners and the dog. It was a large golden retriever named Apple. She was extremely friendly and loving right from the start, and only an hour after arriving, the owners left for their vacation. With them gone, I decided to explore the house a bit just to make myself more comfortable, as I was going to be there for 5 to 6 days. It was a really large home in a very remote area of the National Forest. I mean, this place had to be at least worth $1 million, and it honestly felt surreal to be staying there. That first day, I played with Apple and just got used to the home, then ate dinner and took her out for a walk around 7. The sun was slowly setting, and the whole road I was walking along was a peaceful wooded area. There were no other houses visible in any direction. I brought Apple down the road for about 15 minutes, then turned around and headed back. As we got back to the driveway, though, there was a guy. He was walking down the driveway, and as he passed by me, he kept his head down and didn't say anything. He looked like he was 30-ish, with short black hair and some baggy jeans. Now, this was a really long driveway. Like, it took a whole 3 minutes of walking just to get to the house, but there were no other houses connected to this, so where the hell could he be coming from other than the house? I hurried Apple up to the home and got us both inside, locking the doors just in case. The only thing I could think of was that he was exploring the woods or something and just happened to pop out by the driveway. Seeing him walking away, though, I hoped that whatever it wasn't something to worry too much about. Nothing else happened that day, and I went to bed that night around 10. This next day, I didn't do much. I relaxed inside with Apple and watched a movie while eating leftovers from yesterday. I felt like staying up late, though, and the house had this really awesome upstairs balcony with a fire pit. So once the sun set, I lit up a campfire and sat on the lounge chair. Apple stayed with me for a while, but she ended up going back inside to lay in her bed. 30 minutes passed, and it was maybe 11:30, when I heard Apple start barking from inside the house. It wasn't just a typical bark, though. It was very sudden and frantic. And knowing she was such a friendly dog, this really caught me off guard. I jumped up from the chair and ran inside. She was still barking, and it was coming from the other side of the upstairs hallway. When I looked down, I saw one of the doors to a spare bedroom was open, and I could see Apple in the room with her tail between her legs, staring at one side of the room. I called her name, but she just continued to bark, so I hurried into the room. Her gaze was fixed on a door. I could feel my adrenaline start kicking in as I moved toward it and slowly cracked the door open. It was pitch black in there, and I didn't know where the light switch was, but it was a large walk-in closet full of clothes hanging everywhere. And somehow, my eyes locked on a small gap. There was an eye staring right back at me. For a moment, I froze before quickly slamming the door. I could hear the clothes rattling inside the closet as I grabbed Apple's collar and rushed her downstairs and straight into my car. I drove away, hands shaking on the steering wheel, and called 911. Once cops arrived, I waited anxiously for 10 minutes as they searched the home, but came out alone. The guy had already left. We went over everything, and I told them about the person that I saw yesterday, but that was really all I knew, and I really couldn't confirm if it was the same person. What the officers told me is that the man probably knew the family was going on vacation and thought the house would be empty. What he intended to do is unclear though, and honestly, I'm not convinced that he broke in and hid in the closet without knowing I was there. I think he knew, which only makes it more terrifying. Thankfully, Apple noticed him and got my attention, because without her, I don't know what would have happened that night. I'm a maintenance worker for a small business. They run all their operations during the day, so I work overnight. It makes my job easier because I don't have to work around them, and vice versa. It's technically just a part-time job, though. I work from 8 to 12 on the weekdays. This night, I arrived a little late, but clocked in right away and got to work. An hour went by, and as I was cleaning off one of the desks, the phone in the front of the building started ringing. Obviously, the place was closed, and I didn't have any business answering it, so I let it ring through. But a couple minutes later, it rang again, and then again, and again. I knew it wasn't my boss, or anyone else that worked here, because they would have just texted or called me directly from my cell phone. It's not like they were calling right after the place closed, either. The services stopped at 6 p.m, and it was around 9 right now. After the fifth time it rang, I walked up to the front desk and looked at the caller ID. It just said, unknown caller. I tried to decide whether to just mute the phone and leave it, or to just quickly answer and let them know we were closed. Ultimately, I didn't want to deal with it, so I just decided to mute it. I walked away from the front and continued with cleaning off the desks. Probably 30 minutes went by, and I had totally forgotten about the phone. I kind of assumed that by now, they had to have given up anyways. It was about 10 p.m, and I was upstairs taking a break in the small coffee room when I heard a sound from below me. It was a beep, just a single electronic beep sound that I'd never heard before. I didn't think much of it at first, until I heard a door open and close. I literally turned my head toward the stairwell and just looked completely stunned for a moment. Who could possibly be coming into the building right now? It was way too late. I was a little nervous, but really hoped that it was just a worker that forgot something. I walked up to the open stairwell and listened for a second before calling out, "Hello? Is someone down there?" I heard subtle footsteps abruptly stop as soon as I called out. There was a pause. "Hello?" I said again. My body slowly filled with tension as I started to worry about the possible other scenarios. Then I heard a couple more footsteps getting closer to the bottom of the stairwell. I quietly leaned over and looked down at the doorway. There was a shadow of a man. They were standing still, probably just a foot or two from the entrance to the stairwell. It looked like they were waiting for me or something. After a really unnerving few seconds, I backed away and moved further into the coffee room, then quietly pulled my phone out and called 911. I just hid behind the bar table and whispered to the operator as I stared at the empty stairwell. It only took a couple minutes for the first officer to make it. I heard him come in and yell for everyone to come out. I didn't hear anyone else say anything, and he made it all the way upstairs without seeing anyone. We didn't get any answers until we got hold of the security tapes. Disturbingly, the guy stood at the bottom of that stairwell for several minutes, holding a knife and looking absolutely unfazed by anything. He didn't seem to have come in with the intention of hurting me. Actually, it seemed like he had no idea I was there until I called out. However, once he knew I was there, it looked like he was 100% willing to harm me if I came in his way. After a couple minutes, and just before the officer arrived, he left out the front door. I guess the biggest mystery is how he got a key card to unlock the door. That's what the beep sound was. Even I didn't have a key card. I just had a normal metal key. The search is still open for the guy, and I still work there. Hopefully this was just a one-time thing, but it definitely still has me feeling uneasy some nights. My name is Trevor, and I'm a freshman in college. I don't have a lot of bills to pay, as I'm lucky to have a supportive family. However, I still have to pay for my own food, and for whatever random activities that I want to do with my friends. I do Uber Eats every once in a while, just to make enough to afford these things. I drove an old beater Honda Accord that probably belonged in the scrapyard, but it did the job, I guess. Anyway, I had been delivering for a couple hours on this day, and it was about 10 p.m. when I picked up an order from Wendy's. There was nothing abnormal about it, at least from what I knew. I drove 15 minutes down the mostly empty highway. The turn was directly off the highway on some gravel road. It was in a forest, and without any streetlights, it was very dark. The headlights on my Honda were really dim too, which made it really difficult to drive down this road. All I could see was about 10 feet ahead. After a minute, the road stopped very suddenly. I checked my Uber Eats app, and it showed that I'd arrived. However, I didn't see a house anywhere. I stepped out of my car and took a few steps in front of my headlights, trying to see if there was a path or something. I didn't see anything. It was just woods and trees. I started to wonder if maybe I had missed a turn somewhere along the gravel road. I turned back around and opened my car door, but as I was getting in, I spotted a light in the woods. It was just a small, dim light coming from between the trees. It wasn't moving at all, which made me think it might be a porch light. I walked a little bit closer to try and see, but it wasn't bright enough to show anything around it. Literally, all I could see was the light itself. I stood there for a minute, awkwardly holding the Wendy's bag and unsure whether or not to walk up to it. Then it suddenly moved. It went behind one of the trees and either turned off or just stayed behind it because it never showed back up. I was definitely unnerved. Like, if this was the guy who ordered it, then what was he doing? I took a few steps back toward my car, and that's when I heard leaves crunching from directly in front of me. I could hear it getting closer, but still saw nothing aside from empty darkness among the trees. I dropped the bag and got in my car. It took my stupid old car way too long to start, but when it finally did, I made a 3-point turn and began driving back down the gravel road. As I did, I caught a glimpse of a man in the side of my headlights, sprinting through the woods and right at the road, clearly trying to cut me off. I luckily made it past him before he got in front of me, because I honestly don't think my car would have been able to stop or swerve out of the way. The rest of that gravel road, it was eerily quiet. When I got back to the highway, I ended my shift and went straight back home. I looked up that area on Google Maps, and there were absolutely zero houses there. It was just some abandoned gravel road with a dead end. I don't know what I was in the middle of, or how many people were in the woods around me, but I know I'm lucky to have gotten away.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.